Good afternoon, everyone. Calling the December 15th, 2023 Arizona Board of Occupational Therapy Examiners meeting to order at 1:32 p.m. Next item of business, roll call.
Christopher Daly.
Present.
Charlene Marbs.
Present.
Sean Williams.
Present.
Shelley Donald.
Present.
Shana Ganatra.
Present.
Mark Harris.
Present.
And myself, Vicki Garola. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Garola. Considering we have established a quorum, having all of the board members present today, next item of business, agenda item 3, declaration of conflicts of interest. Do any board members have anything to declare?
This is Charlene Marbs. I have none to declare.
This is Shelley Donald. I have none to declare.
This is Sean Williams. I have none to declare.
And Chris Daly, I have none. Moving on to agenda item 4, discuss amendment approval of minutes. 4-1 is the regular session minutes of November 17th, 2023. The meeting minutes have been previously distributed and all board members were present for the meeting. Are there any corrections or discussion pertaining to the meeting minutes?
Here. Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion that the meeting minutes for the November 17th, 2023 meeting be approved.
I second that motion.
It is moved and seconded that the meeting minutes of November be approved. All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Next item of business, agenda item 5, review discussion and possible action on future board meeting schedule. We have 5A, January 12th, B, February 9th, and C, March 8th. Do any board members have scheduling conflicts at this time?
This is Charlene Marbs. I have no known conflicts at this time.
This is Shelley Donald. I have no known conflicts at this time either.
This is Sean Williams. I have no known conflict.
And Chris Daly, I have none. Moving to our next agenda, item 6, review consideration and possible action, complaints, investigations, and compliance. I have 6A, initial review of complaint. 1, Monica Gonzalez. And I see Miss, hello, Miss Gonzalez. Thank you for joining us today. Is there anyone else present with us in relation to this matter?
Mr. Daly, we do have Mr. P. I apologize if I mispronounced that, who was part of the school district and supervisor at one point for Ms. Gonzalez.
All right, great. Thank you for joining us today. What I'll do is just give a very quick recap of the complaint, and then Ms. Gonzalez, I'll give you an opportunity to address the board if you would like to do so, and we'll take it from there. So in brief, pertaining to the matter of Ms. Gonzalez, there was a initial licensure application for Ms. Gonzalez submitted on October 23rd, 2023, and in her statement pertaining to this matter, Ms. Gonzalez passed her NBCOT CODA exam in July of 2012. At that time, she was working for the school district in a different capacity. A CODA position opened, she applied internally and was offered the position. And at that time, although Ms. Gonzalez did have her C in her CODA from the NBCOT organization, she did not in fact have an Arizona state license. So Ms. Gonzalez has been practicing as an occupational therapy assistant in the state of Arizona since July of 2012, unlicensed. Ms. Gonzalez, would you like to take an opportunity to address the board today regarding this matter?
Ms. Gonzalez, you're on mute. Just unmute yourself, please.
Okay, there it goes. Sorry. I apologize. I know in my statement I did state that when I found out about the position, it was through another employee. She was a speech therapist, and the only thing that I did have was my NBCOT, the certificate. And so at that time, it was a little bit of a mix up because of time when I got my certificate, I knew that there was a COTA position that was open for the district, but then I had a family emergency that went on for a few months. So at that point, I didn't even bother applying for the position. So once that was settled in the family, I was able to, then I thought I was able to pursue getting a COTA position. But at that time, it wasn't on the listing, the job listings. And so I thought, well, I'm going to have to start looking somewhere else. And again, I spoke to the speech therapist and she said that there was a position open. So she mentioned to the director at that time that, she said, why are you interviewing people for a COTA position when you have one that's a district employee and she just passed her exams? So at that point, I got a call from the director and I did let her know that there wasn't a job listing at that time. So at that time, she looked it up and in fact, there wasn't a listing there. And so she said she was going to have HR put it on the job listing. And then she told me to bring in the a copy of my certificate, a letter of recommendation, and the resume. So I had my interview with them and handed them the documents, and I was offered the position at that time. So, and that was, I mean, that was the end of that part. So go ahead.
No, thank you, Ms. Gonzalez. I'm sure we're going to have some questions for you, but I just wanted to take an opportunity, if anyone else in attendance regarding this matter would like to address the board before we ask some questions.
Mr. Daly, would you repeat that? I'm sorry, the voice cut out and I did not hear what you asked.
Sorry, Ms. Donald. Is this okay now? Thank you. Just wanted to give the opportunity, anyone else in attendance regarding the matter of Ms. Gonzalez, would you like to address the board at this time?
Was there a Mr. P or Pay on the phone?
Yes, Ben Pay.
Mr. Pay, is there anything you'd like to address with the board regarding this matter?
I'm not sure. I would state further maybe that it was just unaware that Ms. Gonzalez didn't have the knowledge of the need for the state license at the time of her hiring. It wasn't brought to her attention or asked for at the district level. That's all.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And I have a couple of questions, but I'll just open the floor to board members. Any questions for Ms. Gonzalez?
Ms. Gonzalez, this is Charlene Marbs. Did you ever have any performance issues or concerns while you were performing as a CODA all of these years that you've been in service?
Performance issues like write-ups or anything?
Right. Like, did they ever say, like, you're not performing your job as you should, you're not meeting expectations, you know, in your role?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
And Ms. Gonzalez, I was just wanted to confirm, I see that you still have a current certificate from NBCOT for your C in your CODA. Is that something you've maintained this past decade? Have you consistently been registered as a CODA with NBCOT?
Yes, correct.
With
it,
no,
it was every 3 years. Ever.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Gonzalez, this is Sean Williams.
Yes.
What school did you graduate from? I was curious.
Brown Mackey College in Phoenix.
And in that school, they failed to let you know that you needed to have a license along with your C?
No, the focus was with NBCOT, with giving like practice exams or, you know, but the focus was always just on NBCOT that I remember.
Mr. Williams, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt if you had another question. I have a couple of questions, and this is Shelley Donald. And this might sound like an odd question, but when you sign your progress notes or daily notes or however you sign them, how do you sign your credentials?
Just
COTA?
COTA, yeah.
And in the past 10 years, I'm surprised that you've never seen a license, like somebody else's license hanging, or your district didn't say anything about that.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm the only CODA that I've been. Well, we've had, I think, two, but I've never seen where they have their license or anything up at all for anything.
And you do Medicaid or billing, right? You write billing notes?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm not sure. I was reading. I was trying to read through some of the statutes, and this might be a question for Mr. Harris I don't think we have to do an executive session, but if we do, Mr. Harris, let me know. I didn't really see anything in our statutes about how we deal with individuals that aren't licensed. I don't know what to do or think.
Mr. Harris, I am going to ask for an executive session.
Okay.
I agree.
Okay. That answered my question.
I didn't know, Ms. Donald, if you have some more questions.
I do.
I just wanted to share that.
I do have one more question. And I just wondered, Ms. Gonzalez, have you never filed for a license before in the state of Arizona or any other state?
No.
Okay. Not even a partial, not even got the ball rolling.
No.
Okay. Ms. Ganatra, sorry. I am done with questions at this moment, I think. Thank you for answering.
I'm sorry, Ms. Donald. On board's end, I just wanted to make note that we did seem to have found an application that had been started some time ago. I had made the date known in the documentation, but it had never been completed for Ms. Gonzalez.
Ms. Gonzalez, do you remember starting an application? I believe it was the date was 2011. Is that correct, Ms. Ganatra?
That's correct, Mr. Daly. Yes.
Do you have any recollection of starting an application in the state of Arizona around the time of 2011?
I think that was before we graduated. We had to do, I think it was like 6 weeks of like field work, and we had to do a pediatric and then a geriatric portion. And when the pediatric person that owned the place that we were going to had told us to get a temporary one, I think that's what she called it, and that was all that was all I remember. When I went to the geriatric center, they didn't ask me for anything, so I just thought it was just that one organization or that one that needed a temporary one.
So you were never granted, or that application was never completed, but you did now.
Yeah,
you did start it.
Yeah, because they said it was just a temporary one, and then, like I said, I thought it was just for that first location, because the second location that I went to, they never asked for anything like that.
So when you started the initial applications, is that something that you noted in your response that you did start it, or did we have record of you partially starting it?
Yeah, I guess because I completely forgot until you said that, because like I said, I thought it was because she said it was just a temporary one. So that I didn't think there was anything that needed to be completed, because it was just temporary for that location.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, when we get an initial application, and this is Vicki, I do look up information to see if anyone has ever applied before or held another license. So that is when I found that an application was started. We don't have temporary, so it may have been a limited license, but that is one to work under the direct supervision of a licensed OT. But it doesn't show the application type, but there was one definitely started in 2011.
And that was before I graduated.
The dates could be off. I apologize. Go ahead.
Oh, no, that's fine, Vicki. Mr. Chair, if no one has anything else, I'd like to make a motion that we move to executive session regarding the matter of Ms. Gonzalez.
This is Shelley Donald. I second that.
For legal advice.
For legal advice.
Ms. Mars, thank you. If you could just stay here.
Yes. Okay. This is Charlene Marks. I'd like to make a motion that we move to executive session regarding the license of Ms. Gonzalez, and we're moving to executive session for legal advice.
Thank you.
Do we need another second?
Yes, please.
I second that. This is Shelley Donald.
It is moved and seconded that we move into executive session for legal advice. All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously, moving into executive session at 1:51 p.m.
And as a reminder, the board members will remove themselves from this meeting, and public, please no side conversations. Ms. Igarola will be monitoring, and I will make sure everyone drops off.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, returning to open session at 2:21 p.m.
Mr. Daly, this is Charlene. I'll kick us off, I guess. Ms. Gonzalez, thank you so much for joining us today and to everyone being patient while we had executive session. I'm sure you can imagine this issue is complicated. It's complicated from us on many different levels, and I can't even imagine how you're feeling about all of this after being in a job for so many years and this issue being raised. So do know that we are concerned and we are empathetic to that as well. While it's hard, I mean, to a certain degree, it's hard to imagine practicing something for so long and not knowing that a license is needed. And it's also hard to imagine that there was not more due diligence on your employer's side. And these are my words and my perspective. I don't speak for other members of the board, so I'm speaking for myself. I see two things going on here. I've worked with an employer where there's internal job postings and there's a process for all of that. And you get a mix of people in roles, people coming in from the outside to do a job, people coming in from the inside that's been with the company, and they're allowed to transfer and do different jobs. So sometimes people have different things happen with that. So from my standpoint, I don't feel like I'm able to make a decision, you know, on this. I feel like we're, as a board, we need to ask for more information, and I'll turn to our chair and our executive directors and others who have comments. But I just wanted to share with you, appreciate you coming, appreciate your patience with us today. Personally, again, empathetic, and can't imagine how you're feeling having to address all of this after all of these years. But there will be some things that we'll ask of you at the end. I want to give the floor to others to make comments.
And Ms. Gonzalez, are you aware of what the school has done since discovering this issue, other than stopping you from seeing clients as an occupational therapy assistant? Are you aware of anything else that has gone on?
Not that I know of. I mean, they did send me a letter to make sure that, you know, I was not doing, you know, the job of an occupational therapist assistant. And I mean, as far as that, I don't know anything else that they've done. Just they have allowed me to at least transfer to a position. So right now I'm an instructional assistant in the classroom with the school district. So they've allowed me to do that.
Okay, thank you. And I'm in agreement with Charlene. It would be difficult for me to make any decision today without having an opportunity to ask questions of others in the school district. As Charlene mentioned, this is a pretty complex issue. It doesn't fall solely on you. There are a number of individuals involved here, and I would need to hear from others in order to make any kind of informed decision regarding this matter.
Yeah, understood.
Do we have additional questions for Ms. Gonzalez today?
I do have a question for you, Mrs. Gonzalez. in regards to the actual complaint that was filed, the persons that have filed this complaint, do you still, or were you working with the members that filed on the complaint at the time?
They're still with the district. Is that what you mean?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. They are, okay. All three of them.
Okay. And are you in good working relations with all three of them?
Yes.
Okay.
And
Ms. Well, not working now, but I was with them. Yeah.
Okay.
And Ms. Gonzalez, just to confirm, you self-reported the fact that you discovered you were unlicensed. It was not discovered by another party. It was you who brought this to everyone's attention. Is that correct?
Yes. Out of my curiosity, that's when I thought, I wonder what they're going to pay them. So when I looked at the actual posting, that's when I realized it. And I brought it to the attention of my supervisor at the time, which is Mr. Pay.
I'm sorry, I just missed. You said if they were going to pay them. What were you saying there? I'm sorry.
Oh, no, my employer at the time, my immediate supervisor at the time was Ben Pay, Mr. Pay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I was like, what is that? Okay. So at the time, you were being paid as a CODA. Okay. So everything there is good. Okay. That's all I wanted to make sure I got clear. Oh,
yeah. If I may, Mr. Williams, I think what Ms. Gonzalez was referencing is there was a job posting. And I think Ms. Gonzalez was looking to determine what they would be paid, if I understood correctly. And so.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Yes. Yes. That's right, because for a while I've been the only CODA, so because of our enrollment had increased, then it was a decision to either bring in another CODA or to bring in another occupational therapist. And so that's when they decided to do a job listing for a CODA position. Sorry.
Well, thank you. I'll say thank you for reporting yourself. Again, can't be something easy to do when it could possibly jeopardize your future, right? But certainly commend you for being forthright and you know, reporting this on yourself.
And I noticed too on your that you had said that you, I believe, hadn't read the job posting 10 years ago, and I want to also say thank you for your self-reporting and your honesty, and to again go with what Charlene said. I'm sure it hasn't been easy, and thank you for bearing with us also in this process, like while we gather additional information. And thank you.
And I thank all of you also for your time. Unfortunately, the situation, but I'm sorry.
Okay, it's okay. Mr. Chair, I would like to make a motion that we continue the issue regarding Ms. Gonzalez's application for license with the additions of asking our executive director to contact her employer and ask for representatives regarding billing that has taken place during the time that she's been working, human resources representatives, as well as one or two past supervisors for whomever is available to us. Those are the things that I know of. I may have missed something, unless Shelly and Sean and Chris, you all have anything else to add regarding that request.
No, I think at this time that sounds good.
And Ms. Ganach, Shana.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Daly. Ms. Marbs, as a suggestion, would you want to direct board staff to collect any sort of disciplinary action or any sort of documentation that may or may not be relevant?
Yes, we would appreciate, or at least I would appreciate seeing performance records, yearly reviews, yearly performance reviews. Just to verify what Ms. Gonzalez has said to us, that, you know, she's not had any issues. Having that information in writing, I think, is only fair because of the magnitude of this issue.
Thank you, Ms. Marbs.
Thank you.
If there's no other questions, Ms. Marbs, if I can ask if you can reword your...
You're kidding, right? No.
We're adding. I don't know, Mr. Harris, how are you?
Okay. I would like to make a motion that we continue this matter regarding Ms. Gonzalez's complaint. In addition to the continuance, I ask that board staff request from her employer information regarding billing regarding her services provided. Someone from human resources who can represent her employer and answer questions. Her performance evaluations, as far back as we can see them. And past supervisors who may can be here and be present to address any questions that we may have. I think that was everything.
Could I just ask you to consider authorizing staff to issue subpoenas to anybody who may require them or might not be willing to appear voluntarily?
Yes. And please add that staff, please subpoena anyone who may not be willing to appear before us voluntarily. But hopefully everyone will.
Agreed. Thank you.
Now somebody has to second that.
I, Sean Williams, second that.
It is moved and seconded to continue the matter of Ms. Gonzalez at our January 2024 board meeting in order to request and obtain personnel records, recent billing statements for clinical services provided, and invite additional participants from the school district, including but not limited to representatives from billing, human resources, and supervisors. Board staff are requested to subpoena necessary participants if they do not voluntarily attend. All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Excuse me. Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much, Ms. Gonzalez. We really appreciate your time today and bringing this matter forward to the board. We really commend you on your honesty, and we really appreciate that. And Ms. Shana has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Daly. Time frame wise, and this might be a question for Mr. Harris. If we allow, I believe it's 30 days to receive documentation, that might put us at the February meeting. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to clarify. Okay.
And with school being out for the holidays too, we have.
Correct. Yes. Holidays. Thank you very much. Okay. And just so you know too, Ms. Gonzalez. Thank you.
Ms. Gonzalez, do you have any questions for us? Do you understand where we're going in this direction?
No, I don't have any questions at this time. I appreciate your time. And I thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving on, our next agenda item 6B, review, discussion, and possible action on whether or not to open a complaint. We have none. Agenda item 7, review, consideration, and possible action on applications for licensure. 7A, initial applications. 7A1, the matter of Shelley Flowers, a disclosure. Is Ms. Flowers in attendance with us today?
She is not here, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Igarola. In very brief review, Ms. Flowers disclosed that she had a 2012 DUI. Provided a statement regarding the incident, although did not have any supporting documentation. Do we have any discussion pertaining to this matter? Charlene.
Okay. Mr. Daly, or Mr. Chair, I would request that we have the police records to verify what's being said. We've often gotten those for even minor incidents such as this that just verifies what the applicant is saying. So I would like to request that we that the board staff would contact Ms. Flowers and ask her to contact the Cincinnati Police Department and get official documents from that for verification. Again, we've just consistently had those. So
yes, Ms. Mars, I did ask for additional documentation as the proof, and with the timing of, or you know, the length of time, mm-hmm. she didn't have any of those documents. But I will contact her.
Yeah, the courts, there should be something official because we've seen them from other applicants, correct. If I'm not mistaken.
Yes, and that is why I always ask.
I know you do, Vicki.
Yep, Shana.
Thank you, Mr. Daly. Ms. Marbs, is that for board staff to request and or subpoena those records? Or is that a request to just follow up again with the license of the applicant?
I know Vicki said she reached out to her once, but maybe sharing with her, we could not continue because we wanted the additional information that might help incentivize digging a little deeper.
Yes, Sean.
I was going to ask, is there anything that comes up on the background check for individuals in situations like this? And I mean, like, at the fingerprint, because she has to have a fingerprint clearance card, period, to work usually in most cases in the state of Arizona. I don't know her situation. Is this initial application, if she's already here? Because my thought was just if she was able to obtain that, then the records might have already been disclosed.
Mr. Williams, we are only allotted the state background checks at this time based on our past conversation. So with the state background checks, it does take time to submit and receive results. And so when we have an initial applicant, we don't receive background information right away. Okay. And with regards to the fingerprint clearance card, we don't currently have our statute listed, so we don't receive any sort of hits in the future, and we don't have the ability to see anything historical with just a fingerprint clearance card.
The only thing that I would add to that, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, is that under our new requirements, a applicant is required to possess a valid fingerprint clearance card. During the exercise of obtaining that from whatever entity she obtained it from, they would have done a background check, and it would have come up. You know, this is something that's over, you know, what is it, about 12 years ago? I'm not, you know, and if it was as she purports it to be, I think, you know, it wouldn't have been something that would have prohibited her from obtaining the fingerprint clearance card, but we're no longer in that business. So it wouldn't come through us as Shana was saying.
And that was one of my reasons why I was asking that question, because with the timeframes here and then also her being able to obtain that, I was just wondering if that was something that we would consider too.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I think my understanding of the conversation so far is just that, you know, historically we've always been presented the police reports to support the underlying action, just as a checks and balance of the narrative. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, it sounds like timing, Vicki, that they just, we were able to obtain that. And so,
correct.
Yeah, so if you want to see it before, the appropriate thing would be just to continue it until next month and give her that opportunity to produce it. One of the things that we mentioned about subpoenaing, unfortunately, we can't subpoena those records because it's outside of Arizona. It's in Ohio. So all we could do as an agency would make a public records request. And those public records requests with law enforcement, you know, they may take a while.
I know that we've seen some where their records have been expunged and clear, but we've seen the official documentation that says that. And so even that from the city or county in Ohio would, I think, would be sufficient for verification.
I agree. And that would be keeping consistent with our standard practices in these matters. Yes, Shayna.
You want me to make that motion again, don't you?
And if I may ask, if I could suggest if you could would like to direct board staff to formally invite Ms. Flowers to attend next month.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Am I good on my motion or do I need to make the motion again?
Make them, if you may make the motion, please.
Okay. I would like to make the motion that we continue the discussion on the initial application for Shelley Flowers and direct board staff to, one, invite Ms. Flowers to attend our next board meeting, and two, to request that she produce or contact the city or county where this incident occurred and get official documentation which helps to verify her statement.
Thank you, Ms. Marks.
And this is Shelley Donald. I second that motion.
It is moved and seconded to continue the matter of Ms. Flowers in order to have an opportunity to invite Ms. Flowers to attend the subsequent board meeting reviewing the matter, as well as direct board staff to obtain the necessary documentation to support the matter of Ms. Flowers and any previous charges brought against her. All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Shirley Marbs.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to our next agenda item, 7A2, matter of Shay Schwartz, disclosure. Is Mr. Schwartz here with us today? I don't believe so.
No, he is not.
Okay, in brief review, Mr. Schwartz disclosed a 2020 misdemeanor charge of criminal damage involving domestic violence. Cedar's statement for Mr. Schwartz, and that he completed all legal requirements, was able to find one supporting legal document that reflected a timeline of legal proceedings and events, as well as ultimately reflected that the charge was later dismissed by the prosecutor. Any discussion pertaining to this matter?
Mr. Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the initial OTA application of Shay Schwartz.
I second that motion.
It is moved and seconded that we approve the application of Mr. Schwartz. All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Shirley Marbs.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to agenda item. Pardon me, 7B, renewal reinstatement applications. 7B1, the matter of Leslie Ping reinstatement application. I do believe Ms. Ping is here with us today. In very quick Hello, Ms. Ping. Just in very quick review, we had received reinstatement application. Ms. Ping's Arizona OT license expired on September 10th, 2023. We received the reinstatement application on November 25th, 2023. The system did show that a 60-day renewal reminder was emailed out on July 12th, 23, and was not open until November 25th of 23. We did receive a detailed statement from Ms. Ping, and ultimately stated that she made two visits to Arizona school, to an Arizona school district during the time of license expiration. And Ms. Ping, thank you so much for joining us. Just wanted to give you an opportunity to address the board if you so choose.
Yeah, hi, thank you. I somehow pressed a button on my email and it popped up an unread list, and I saw that one and went into sheer panic mode that I had overlooked the renewal. I am a practicing OT in New Mexico, and so I do maintain my licensure annually. And with Arizona being every other year, I goofed up. And as soon as I read the email, I got online and completed my application and submitted my CEUs, called my employer right away, and we came up with the plan of action, and here I am. And so I apologize, but I did make two visits to a school district. I supervised a CODA. And so I had gone one time per month during that expired period.
Thank you, Ms. Ping. And Ms. Ping, were those visits in person or were they virtual?
In person.
Thank you. Any questions for Ms. Ping?
I have a question, and Ms. Ping, thank you for coming today. I'm sure this is really stressful, so thank you for coming and explaining. You said you supervise a CODA, and was she seeing the clients at that or the school, the schools?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. And you, so you were doing your normal supervision stuff, signing off notes, things like that.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So can I ask another question? It's so it you saw the two students, but your assistant saw more.
I don't think I said I saw students. I went two different visits. I went to Arizona two different times.
Oh, okay, okay. So you're I'm sorry, I misunderstood. So you she sees the students and you go provide your supervision. So yes. She was seeing the students
yes.
that you were signing off on. Do you happen to know roughly how many that might be?
Like her caseload, she carries roughly, I would say around 40 students.
Okay.
And the frequency varies from 30 minutes weekly to biweekly.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
So Ms. Ping, just to clarify on those two visits you made to Arizona, it was essentially regarding numerous visits that were made during the time of your license expiration. Is that fair to say?
I'm not sure I understand the question. I went to Arizona twice, once in October and once in November.
And then when you went on those occasions, how many visits were you signing off?
I sign her documentation monthly. So if we roughly guesstimated, I would say that's around 120 notes just off of a 40 per week caseload. Or that would be more like 160. I'm nervous. I can't do math. So it would be roughly, I would say, about 160 per month visits. I could gather that information for you, but I don't know for sure.
No, that so it, and that would be roughly maybe 20 to 30 treatment days. Would that be fair to say?
without the weekends excluded? Is that how you're coming?
Yes.
I feel that's probably a safe guesstimate.
Thank you. Yes, Sean.
Hi, I'm Mrs. Ping. Curious, so this is for the school district. I'm sorry, I just missed it. What school district are you in?
I travel to Morenci, Arizona. Okay. I live in New Mexico.
Okay, and how many other OTRs are in that district are in within your school? Are you the only OTR that was responsible?
Yes.
And it's just one COTA that you're responsible for?
Yes.
That's all I have.
Any additional questions? If no additional questions, I was just reviewing our decision matrix that we use to be consistent regarding matters of license expiration. And this seems to fall under the category of practicing without a license for a calendar time of anywhere from 1 month to less than 6 months, or 20 to 119 days of service. And our typical decision-making there is probation of 1 year, as well as 3 hours of continuing education in medical ethics, in addition to the typical CE requirement for licensure. Any discussion from board members pertaining to that? Or do we have a motion?
I motion to follow the standards of the matrix.
I'd like to amend Sean's agreement. Is that we offer a consent agreement that needs to be signed or accepted within 30 days that outlines the conditions of the matrix of 1 year probation, the 3 hours of continuing education and medical ethics, in addition to the standard continuing education.
I second that motion.
It is.
Well, he made the motion. I just amended. Can he second his own motion?
Well, he would technically need to make the amendment. So if you wanted just to take ownership over that motion, then he could second it.
Sean, what do you prefer? Do you want to make the motion yourself?
Go ahead and make the motion the way you said, because I'm new to the language. So.
Okay. Then I would like to make the motion that we offer Ms. Ping a consent agreement, which she has 30 days to accept. And as part of that consent agreement would include probation for 1 year, 3 hours of continuing education in medical ethics, in addition to the standard continuing education hours that are required.
Do we have a second?
I second that motion.
And did you want to include, if not accepted, to invite in for an informal interview?
Yes.
Thank you.
Do we have to now make another motion for the approval of the license?
Well, let's take a vote on this one.
Okay.
It is moved and seconded that we offer Ms. Ping a consent agreement to be signed within 30 days for 1 year probation and 3 hours of continuing education in medical ethics, in addition to the standard CE requirements for licensure. If the consent agreement is not accepted by Ms. Ping, we would invite her for a formal hearing regarding the matter. All in favor?
Chris Daly?
Aye.
Charlene Marbs?
Aye.
Sean Williams?
Sorry, aye.
Shelley Donald?
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much, Ms. Ping. Do you have questions for us after that?
I do. I just want to make sure I'm understanding. So when you say the consent that I agreed to probation and then a medical ethics continuing ed, and I'm on probation, does that mean I practice under? Can you clarify what probation means? Yes.
Would you like me to do that?
Sure. Yes, please.
In essence, Ms. Ping, you'll be allowed to practice under your license unrestricted. It just means that until you complete the requirements of the consent agreement, you will be considered under probation by the board. Did that help at all, or did that further confuse you?
No, I that did help. Would my license be considered active as of today, or do you backdate it to the when it expired, or what's my window? So I'll know I do not do it again.
Well, I think the next motion will be to approve, and it will be active. I'll defer to board staff on that, but I believe the next motion will be to approve it.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. That would be something that would need to be made as a motion, whether it upon approval or upon acceptance of your consent agreement and signature, that we would then issue the license to you, or board members would rather issue the license and then also with the consent agreement as well. So I'll suggest that to the board members.
Would you state that one more time?
Absolutely. Either with the consent agreement, it's indicated in there that upon acceptance, that the license would then be issued. So upon Ms. Ping's signature, would we then issue her license once I've signed and put it into motion? Or I think, Mr. Harris, if I'm not mistaken, board members can go the route of approving Ms. Ping's license in addition to issuing her a consent agreement here at this meeting.
Yes, I think so. Yeah, the way it's agendized. So it's really would be up to the board.
Thank you.
So I guess the next question is, does the board want to entertain a motion to approve or reinstate the license?
I will make that motion. This is Shelley Donald. I move that we approve Ms. Ping's license and, I'm not going to do this very well, and issue the consent agreement.
Okay, I'm not sure that you necessarily need that second part.
Oh, okay.
You just did that. So I think the standalone is just if you want to go ahead and approve the reinstatement.
Okay.
And then she'll either sign the consent agreement or it will come back before you at an informal.
Okay, so this is just for my own knowledge. If Ms. Ping were not to sign the consent agreement, then the license is not approved.
No, it would be, but the conduct wouldn't be, wouldn't go away. You still would have jurisdiction to take whatever action you think is appropriate.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ms. Ganatra. I think I misunderstood what you said. So that was my bad.
No, that's okay, Ms. Thomas. I think it was a little confusing as it came out, but it's either what Mr. Harris said, the motion that you've made, or it's Ms. Ping has to sign the consent agreement in order to receive her license. So gotcha. The decision is based on what board members are voting. vote.
All right. Well, at this point, because of my confusion, I'd like to withdraw my motion and rethink this.
Yeah. If you want, if you want, you can reconsider the prior motion and just make it, you know, that the reinstatement is part of the consent agreement.
I'll for sure sign the consent and I'll do my 3 hours if that makes things easier. I'll do whatever it takes.
Well, and I apologize. Some of these motions can get complicated and I apologize. Mm-hmm. I would like to amend my previous motion and that to make the reinstatement part of Ms. Pink's consent agreement.
I second the motion to reinstate her license upon the consent agreement.
It is moved and seconded to reinstate the licensure application for Ms. Ping upon signing the consent agreement. All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. So Ms. Ping, thank you so much. Upon acceptance of the consent agreement, you'll be issued your reinstatement OT license.
Thank you. So will that consent be emailed to me or what do I do beyond here?
So Ms. Ping, that will come from board staff. So myself, I will be emailing you and sending you, once it's signed, I'll be sending you by certified mail the completed agreement once I've signed it as well. So for the first step is for you to review it and sign it. And I'll be sending that by email.
And I can sign it electronically?
So a live signature is preferred. So that would just mean a handwritten signature. And then if you can scan a copy back or mail a copy back, typically scanning and emailing is a little faster.
Okay, I will do that. And the 3 CEU medical ethics, is that something you guys will, I have to do one that you approve or I just look for one and take it and then submit the CEUs?
So we don't prior approve CEUs, but what you would do is you would complete the courses and provide them to the board. And then we would just ensure that those met the requirements.
I would just send it to you, a certificate to you?
Correct. Yes. Yes.
I appreciate it. I am scheduled to be in that district next week, if possible, before the Christmas break. Would that be an option with the scanning if we did it like Monday, Tuesday next week? Or is that
I'd have to follow up with you, Ms. Ping. Typically, we have until the next board meeting to submit or to receive all of that completed. Okay. Yeah, so I'll be in touch with you.
Okay. I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ping.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Okay, moving on to our agenda item 8, consent agenda, review, consideration, and possible action on applications for licensure approved by the executive director. And I move to ratify the 91 initial renewal and reinstatement applications that have been approved by the executive director. Do I have a second?
This is Charlene Marbs. I second.
It is moved and seconded to ratify the 91 initial renewal and reinstatement applications. All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
John Williams.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Moving on to our agenda item 9. Review, consideration, and possible action, board business, and reports with Jaina.
Thank you, Mr. Daly. So 9A, Rules Committee update. I've kept this as a standing agenda item for when we plan to meet again for the Rules Committee. Unfortunately, with our Authentia platform migration, we've been in a lot of meetings and calls throughout the week, so it was unable to schedule something this month. So my goal and plan is now that we've gone live and that's something I'll plan to update, we will be having a meeting in January for the new year to start back up on our rules committee. If there's no questions, I will move on. 9B, which is Central Services Bureau, which is CSB, our financial services assistance. And this is in regards to the intra-agency service agreement that we had planned to review. So last meeting, I had provided a copy of the ISA, which was part of what we had received for what the increase of services was, as well as the previous copy of what we had originally been paying that had been signed by my predecessor back in 2019. I've since uploaded a revised copy for the board to review. And in that revised copy, if I may, I'll just pull that up quickly. I was asked during the meeting to see if there was any services that we might find redundant that we might be able to include on the board's end and possibly reduce some of the fees that were quite high. One thing that I'm still actively looking into is the payroll and travel category, which if I can myself get into the system and understand and have the capability to complete that, then that's something that I can reduce for our billing. I did touch base with CSB to see if there was anything further that we could look at reduction-wise. Because occupational therapy is quite a large board, we do have a lot of transactional processes, and so they do have to put us in a category that does increase our fees. One thing that they were able to do for this fiscal year, since I think I might have mentioned this is a retroactive agreement, so it would be retroactive as of July. One thing that CSB was able to do for us was for this fiscal year, they were able to split the cost between our board and the athletic training board, which I oversee as well, to provide a little bit less of a burden of financially for that, and for that because it was because we did split that time for those items. And I believe that's something CSB will honor for next fiscal year, because we didn't get the opportunity to submit a budget request for ongoing expenses to cover these expenses moving forward. From what I understood and what I'd mentioned at last month's meeting is that CSB on our behalf did go to the governor's office and requested the appropriation to cover these expenses for this fiscal year, but that was not done so for the future ongoing expenses. So that's something that we need to look for to do for the FY26 a year. So as an assistive way of handling it, CSB did split some of those costs for us to help. Other than that, a lot of these items we do get support from CSB for. That would be difficult to pull from them. So really just having to bite the bullet and I believe approve us for to continue to go through CSB. And Mr. Harris, I don't know if a motion is needed for that. I did bring it to the board just for transparency, but would be comfortable memorializing it if it's necessary.
Yeah, that would be up to you.
Mm-hmm. I think I'd feel comfortable, and I'd suggest if board members could assist me in memorializing this if it's something we agree upon to, because of the costs, they're quite high. They've increased since 2019 to put something in motion for this.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion that our executive director and staff continue to use the services of the Central Services Bureau in accordance with the interagency service agreement.
I'll second that. This is Shelley Donald.
It is moved and seconded that the Arizona Board Executive Director and Board Staff continue to utilize Central Services Bureau for Interagency Service Agreement Review. All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Shirlene Marbs.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll move on then to 9C, which is license and renewal fee review. So I brought up, I believe it was last or the meeting prior, where the board was looking to increase license and or renewal fees to support some of the expenditures. And I know, Ms. Donald, I know you had brought this up as an agenda item too. So I also wanted to give you opportunity. But it is something that we did bring to the Rules Committee meeting and were asked to re-review the information and then bring it to the board. And so we're actively working on that with our finance team to see on each fee how we can appropriately increase those possibly in a step-up manner so that each year it's not quite a large amount, but it's an appropriate amount that wouldn't overfill our budget necessarily, where we wouldn't be able to use some of those funds, but not underfill our budget either. And I'll also, Ms. Donald, allow you to speak upon that if there's anything you wanted to add.
No, there really isn't. That was just kind of my question. So thank you for answering that.
I have a question for you. What is the current fee again? I apologize. I just renewed, actually. So
that's okay. So our fees, and I know Ms. Higuerola has this better than I do, but we have for application fee, it's $100. And then for the occupational therapist fee, so application is OT or OTA. And then the occupational therapist initial license fee is $135. So that would be the application plus the initial. If they were applying for an initial application. And then the renewal license fee for an OT is $135. And then if for an OTA, the initial license fee is $70. So that would be the initial plus the renewal, which the renewal is $100, so $170. And then the renewal license fee for ongoing is $70. And then there's other fees in between. Those are just the ones that you would see if you were applying. And then a limited licensee, I apologize. So that is $35 for the limited license fee.
So I was going to ask, when and where will the fees be discussed? Is that during the committee meeting for the rules, you said?
So we brought that up to the committee I want to say it was maybe back in September, Mr. Daly, you might know, you might remember better than me.
Was
around that time. Okay. And during that discussion, I believe Dr. McAllister was with Mr. Daly at the time. So it was discussed to re-review this information that I had presented and look at doing a step up with the fees that I'd proposed and then to bring it to the board. So that's something that now will come to the board for discussion with that information. And then it would look like a statute change. And that could take some time. That's not an overnight process, unfortunately. So just knowing that this is, we're just getting the ball rolling on it right now.
And excuse me, Sean, we just approved, the board did, fee increases. I believe it was at the end of last year, beginning of this year, or the previous, either 2021 going into 2022, one of those. So within the last 2 years, we did vote on fee increases. So those are relatively new.
Ah, thank you, Ms. Marbs. Were they were implemented then, or were they just approved for just approved to be implemented. I apologize. I don't know if I.
I would have to go back and look at the, try to find the meeting minutes, but I thought they were approved because we had some discussion about them, some initial discussion, and then there was, you know, then we came back and voted. So, Vicki, do you remember?
Yeah, just a point of clarification. I think it was approved to go forward with the formal rulemaking, though. So this is just the very first step in a long process of actually getting change to the rules. We have to open up a official rulemaking docket, and it has to go through GRC, and it's quite a process. This was just the initial step of doing that. That's my understanding, and Shana, correct me if I'm misremembering.
No, I think that's great information, Mr. Harris, but I think Ms. Marbs, you were saying back in 2021, right?
It was 2021 or 2022 that we had the discussion on the board. We agreed on what the change amounts would be because it took a couple of meetings for us to get to where we agreed. So,
and I suspect it might have just been approved because when I investigated on when our fees were last changed, it was back in the 90s. So I don't know if anything ever followed up. We'll look historical and see what was discussed at that meeting.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that you brought that up. I was made aware of that.
Ms. Marbs, I believe that was when, I think Mr. Harris stated as well, when we were discussing, someone stated it, but the changes and then that freeze came. Am I correct? Was it, Mr. Harris, was it a few years ago when we were making changes and then they put a freeze on any rule changes?
Yes.
So I think that's what you guys were discussing back then, Ms. Marbs, is all the changes, but then it got put on hold.
And was that 22? Or 21 or 22?
It was the rule moratorium.
I mean, when we had the discussion as a board, it was in 21 or 22.
I think 21, and okay. I'll look into it. I think I have documents.
Yeah, it sounds familiar. I can't recall myself either.
Yeah, I wasn't even 100% sure if you were on the board then, Mr. Daly. Maybe you had just joined, but I know it's within that time frame.
And actually, Ms. Marbs, that's helpful for us to see. So we can look back and see what was proposed previously and compare to what we're proposing now. So I appreciate that. And one thing, when I reported to the governor's office on the five-year rule review, there were many agencies that not necessarily got dinged, but oh, please remember that if you're going to submit, when you're submitting, please do follow those timelines to attempt to, you know, do the rule revisions. And so I think that's a lot of agencies were in the similar predicament where, and with ours, it was because of a transition as well to a executive director for some time. So the governor's office understood, but I think that's possibly where it probably comes from, is that a lot of those things may have been voted on, but may not have been placed into.
I think
that hadn't been started. Yeah.
Okay.
So thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. Then I will move on into 9D, which is update on matters related to fingerprinting as it relates to ARS Statute 32-3430. To start it off, I had a discussion with Mr. Harris, and then separately I just informed and discussed with Mr. Daly about the fingerprinting process. Last that it was approved back in October, I believe, it was for us to continue our processes as we did, which unfortunately didn't include the federal background checks, but did include state background checks, as well as accepting fingerprint clearance cards. And I apologize, we weren't accepting fingerprint clearance cards before, but because of the statute that had been into effect back in January of 22. After discussion, it was determined by a board staff that we, moving forward with the new applications and the new portal, that we will only be accepting fingerprint clearance cards. And that does align with our statute as well. We still do not have any updates on FBI approval, but myself and other executive directors who have been impacted by these statute changes did meet with the governor's office. We did get some audience with them. And my understanding is that they are still working on some changes with some of the statute information to ensure that we were covered, but it isn't necessarily relevant to our board. What I mean by that is that Mr. Boyd, he's the DPS liaison with the governor's office. He is working with the FBI and looking at language changes to ensure that we can continue to proceed with how we've been doing with our fingerprint clearance cards. But something that might be a concern is that we are no longer able to continue doing background checks. And as Mr. Williams brought up during one of the applicants that we were discussing, that would mean that we wouldn't be able to see historical information from someone who is applying. When someone applies for a fingerprint clearance card, the requirements may demonstrate that they may, for instance, could have had 1, 2, or 3 DUIs and may still be approved for a fingerprint clearance card. And I know in the past that's something we would have brought to the board if it was a background check completed and we had identified that something had happened in the past, we would have brought it up to the board. So that doesn't allow us to really have a pulse on what has happened historically. And with the fingerprint clearance card, because our statute isn't listed, we may not be aware of anything that happens in it presently, unless we're notified by the licensee or the applicant. So that puts us in a tricky situation, I think, with how our statute is written. And I know Mr. Harris had a really good discussion point on some of these. So I don't know, Mr. Harris, if you wanted to have us suggest going into executive session.
Sure, if the board members are up for it one more time. It is the season to give. And I'm happy to give advice.
I make a motion that we move to executive session for legal advice regarding fingerprinting and background checks and related to the OT license.
I'll second that motion.
It is moved and seconded that we go into executive session for legal advice. All in favor?
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
Sean Williams.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously, leaving general session at 3:24 p.m. Thank you, Ms. Ganatra. Returning to open session at 3:53 p.m.
I would like to suggest if board staff would like to, excuse me, board members would like to direct board staff on how we would like to proceed with any actions on this item, if any.
Is it possible to have another meeting to discuss further on an action plan?
Mr. Williams, are you suggesting at another board meeting, we just continue this topic until next month?
I'm not sure what's best, but I was under the impression that we might want to have another deliberation to come up with a solid plan to help direct for future decision making.
One of the things that the board may want to consider is going down two paths simultaneously. And one might be kind of directing Shana to continue to work with the governor's office and DPS on perhaps modifying the board's existing authority with respect to fingerprinting, and if there's an opportunity to get us back in the business to pursue that. And in the interim, perhaps scheduling a the topic of what we can do in the interim as far as working with our professional, you know, colleagues on educating and notifying them of the importance to report and, you know, the collaboration that that should exist amongst the profession. And I probably did not articulate that part very well, and I apologize for that. But kind of give Shane a direction, you know, to continue to work with the governor and DPS and whoever else the association may be. And if there's an opportunity to get a legislative fix to get us back in the business, and simultaneously, until that legislative fix happens, to figure out ways to educate the public, the profession, and work with our professional peers on ensuring open dialogue and reporting.
I would like to direct board staff to carry out everything that Mr. Harris just stated.
But more articulately.
No, you are quite articulate.
If at all possible, I would like to direct our executive director, Ms. Ganatra, to reach out to the current Arizona president, Heidi Carpenter, to bring this matter to her attention, because one item that really stands out to me, not only with our lack of ability to do background checks for our state and our own profession, but I was just reviewing what it in terms of the Occupational Therapy Licensure Compact, which we are a member state of. In order for us to be a state that participates in the Occupational Therapy Licensure Compact, a member state must conduct criminal background checks of applicants for initial compact privilege. So if we are unable to do this, we are going to be out of the compact.
Oh, and that's really good information, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. And Shana, that is something that you'd want to share in your presentations with you know, these various individuals, including DPS and the governor's office and legislators, whoever you're working with.
Yeah.
That, you know, this has significant impact on our ability to provide services.
Yeah. Mr. Daly, thank you. That's an excellent point.
Sure.
And Ms. Carpenter has been made aware of the situation that initially occurred. So it's on her radar. And so I'll be happy to continue conversations with her and, you know, to coordinate with the association. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you. Thank you.
Was a motion passed? I apologize. One hasn't.
I don't think there was a vote.
Do we need a motion?
Yes. And I thought, Mr. Chairman, that you did move. I don't know if there was a second, though.
There was Charlie Marsh. I second.
Okay, thank you, Sharon.
It is moved and seconded that board staff shall continue to collaborate with the governor's office, various state agencies, anyone involved in the fingerprint clearance card and criminal background check activity, as well as to coordinate with our state association, Arizona, and their president in order to address any possible legislation related to the matter. All in favor.
Chris Daly.
Aye.
Charlene Marbs.
Aye.
John Williams.
Aye.
Shelley Donald.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If I may, just one more item on this topic. that's relevant to fingerprinting in the process is that we previously, as a board, had accepted paper applications. However, with our paper applications, they do indicate the previous language, and now that we've proceeded to only accept fingerprint clearance cards and only in the process of asking and posing a question, I would like to propose to the board members if we can eliminate the process of accepting paper applications and providing the constituents with a timeline of effective January 1st of 2024.
Shane, I hate to be, is that on the agenda?
It is not. It was connected to this, so I was wondering if you'd stop me. It sounds like you're stopping me.
Sorry.
That's okay.
Now I go from gift giving to being the Grinch.
It's relevant to item D, but it is not its own agenda item now.
If we could bring it back in January.
Okay.
And just something to think about, and we can talk about this, you know, between meetings, is just, you know, if we're still going to accept paper, modify the paper, you know, change the questions.
But, right.
Yeah, that's something for another conversation.
I'd be happy to agendize it, and then we can bring it up for next month's meeting.
In addition to that agenda item, so that we have complete information and don't have to keep going back and forth, I would like to know the number of paper applications versus electronic, and how do you deal with those people? I'm kind of on the page with Mark. Can we change the language on paper for people who may not be as technology savvy and they continue to submit their applications by paper? If you're only getting like five, that's different, right? Versus if you're getting a substantial amount in addition to electronic applications.
Right. Ms. Barnes, we'd be happy to collect that data for you. And then when I agendize it, I'll include that as well. I lost my train of thought, but thank you.
And one more thing, any cost associated with updating the paper, like what would be the cost that we need to weigh in doing that as well?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I know we're not on the topic, so I'm not sure if I can share. I mean, I'll share, and Mr. Harris taught me, but the new system doesn't give us an easy way of inputting those items through a paper application. So that is why I suggested and wanted to bring it to the board. Many executive directors, I don't know if they've decided independently, but I just wanted to transparently inform the board and just get a motion from that. But it is not, it's not an, I'll provide more on the agendized item, but it's not an easy process for board to continue to process these paper applications.
Yeah. So, and like I said, quantity would be important for comparison, because we don't want to put up barriers for people. I don't think that's our job, right?
True, but I will mention, Ms. Marbs, that we had quite a bit of influx because we were down. Our system was down for mm-hmm. 6 weeks, so we only accepted. We were happy to accept paper applications because we didn't want to delay the process, and we didn't want to. We would have done an administrative adjustment, but instead we accepted paper applications. That is why that's going to skew the data, I think, quite significantly this month.
Yeah.
Well, I think in all fairness, that being the case, so I'm glad you shared that, is to, you know, make a footnote about that month and what occurred, and then look at the data for, say, 12 months outside, you know, outside of that month, or like a rolling 12 months, but something that eliminates that exception of having to take paper applications during that time. Just so we have a fair picture, because I wouldn't want that information to be skewed. So I'm glad you shared that.
Yeah, no, I understand, Ms. Marks. I do know too that many, many other agencies are requiring it now to go electronic. There's no option. And, you know, that's why
I'm sorry, but this would be great once we have it on the agenda.
Understood, Mr. Harris. Thank you. Okay. But we will get the data as much as we can, Ms. Marbs. We will.
Thank you.
Okay. Then I will pass it on then to Mr. Daly.
This will be nice and easy. Agenda item under E1, updates on OT licensure compact. There are no current updates.
Oh, now you're making me look bad.
All right. And then I will move on then to 9F, Executive Director's Report, under 1, Financial Review. So I've included the most recent review report that we received, and I actually connected with our finance agency yesterday, which they gave me a more updated report then this morning. And so with that, I've asked them to project out what we're looking at funding-wise if we were to accept the ISA as it stands, which I know we discussed today, including hiring a contracted position, since our funding may not necessarily support a full-time position at this time due to some of the costs associated with the increases of our expenditures for our finance agency. That being said, that's the projected information as if we were to have hired an additional staffing member, and that would be effective in February. Mm-hmm. So that's where that, I apologize, January. So that's where that increase would come in into place. I don't anticipate that even if we went through that process, we'd get somebody by January because of the holidays. It may possibly be end or beginning of February, but that's something we had included in the financial projection. Otherwise, we remain in the black. We still have a healthy balance, even with going the route of hiring some additional help during this time. Any questions? Oh, and actually, I'll make one more note. November looks very hefty because there's 3 pay periods in that month. So when you look at personal services, that's typically, because I looked at that and thought that's quite high in comparison. Why was it? And that's the case because of the 3 pay periods in that month versus 2. Any questions on that? Okay. Then I will move on then to 9F2, which is review of recent board staff activities. Vicki and I are doing the hybrid model, continuing to, which we work 2 days in office or 3 days if it's a board meeting. And then the remainder of days working from home and available by phone or email. And we have been in Ventia amidst all of the portal transitions. We've just been deep in it. And so we have finally posted the link. It is now officially online. Our new portal is up and running. We had a lot of bumpy issues that we've addressed, and I'm hoping that it's nice and smooth now for those that are, or at least smoother for those that are now starting to apply. If I may, I'll just share the site just briefly to show you what changes we've made to it, the homepage, so it indicates how to get to our portal. So on the homepage, I've included the system being up and a link to get to the system, as well as redirecting those who are current licensees to look at our resources page on how to access the licensee portal. Since those that are, and this would be helpful for those on the call as well, those that are licensed will need to follow these steps to reactivate essentially their account. So this is a helpful tool. More FAQs are to come in the future. We're just, honestly, we've been so busy with the Ventia live migration that we just haven't had a lot of time to do other extracurricular activities. So we've just now gotten this posted. On the homepage too, I just wanted to make a note since we were back on fingerprinting prior, is that I did now include this information that indicates about the statute requirements. And I plan to include something additional that just informs of how our portal interacts with that fingerprinting clearance card, which is just to indicate whether or not they possess a fingerprint clearance card. And that's been changed across the board on all application types as well. And I'm still checking everything to make sure we've removed all the fingerprinting stuff from the site so there's no confusion. There's a lot of small pages and links, so it might, you know, I might have missed something, but I'm still working through that. Any questions? I'm actually might just click on the link real quick and show you what the site looks like, actually, before I finish that topic. So this is our Centia new site. And so this is where those would go to either apply as an initial applicant, come here to the existing licensee if they're an existing licensee, or if they'd like to search an existing licensee, or if they'd like to make a complaint. So it all is housed on the main screen here. Any questions on that at all? I can answer. Okay, and I will move on to 9F3 statistics. Under A, we have 4,683 current active licensees. And that's it. I'll pass it back to you, Mr. Daly.
Thank you, Ms. Ganatra. Moving on, our next agenda item 10, agenda items for our next meeting.
We would have the continuance of Ms. Gonzalez, the complaint regarding Ms. Gonzalez.
Yes.
Is that January, or did we think maybe because of the timelines, do we need to put it on for January and then maybe look at it again in February as well? Or am I, because I thought they'll have time to submit.
Oh, that's correct. Yeah, with the record.
Yeah.
But what if she comes, is it possible that she may come with something in January?
Maybe.
It is possible if Shana has all the records and the people are available to appear.
And we do have to notify them 10 days ahead too. So that's that time frame sometimes cuts a little close. We'll definitely attempt to try to put them on January.
Well, I would say let's put it on January and then be prepared for February too. We may get nothing in January, but if something comes and we have to discuss it, at least it's on the agenda already.
Sounds good.
We have the matter of paper applications. And do we already have a standing item for fingerprinting? I believe there's already a standing, yes.
Yeah, thank you, yeah.
Anything additional? Hearing nothing additional, moving on to agenda item 11, call to the public. Hearing no call from the public. Hearing no further.
Wait, I have one more thing, sorry. Do we need to put on the January agenda about outreach regarding self-reporting and rules and the item we discussed previously?
Community.
State statutes.
It was to collaborate with other stakeholders within the community for education based on our rules and regulations and statutes.
Yes.
What was that pertaining to updates on matters related to fingerprinting?
Well, we were supposed to be giving more direction on ideas maybe to mm-hmm. To lead you into finding you know, other outlets or whatever we might think to help educate the you know, our peers.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. So if we I'd be happy to share it if, at that time too, or whenever I can let you guys give you an update as well.
Thank you. Okay.
Anything additional? Hearing nothing additional, hearing no call from the public, I move to adjourn our meeting today at 4:16 p.m.